Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Reality TV shows have become a big deal in this country over the past 15 years or so, but if you think the U.S. has the market cornered, think again. UW-Milwaukee English professor Liam Callanan found himself playing a role in a reality show in China this year, and the experience was, well, he'll describe it for us, as he did in an essay published just today on the literary website Medium. Liam Callanan, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here.
And maybe I should say welcome back to the States, because you were in – it's been a while, but you were in China some time ago. Explain how this gig as a celebrity judge on a reality show came to be.
You know, this is something I do every summer, appear on celebrity reality shows in foreign countries, but actually it's not. This summer, it was a very exciting opportunity that came up when UWM, which has been working very hard to recruit students from China, had an opportunity to be part of this show that would expose the UWM brand and name to millions of people. In fact, I think over 330 million viewers of the show that I was on, which was to determine the best English-speaking child in China.
And 330 million viewers is, if I'm not mistaken, and I think you write this, more than watch the Super Bowl in this country.
Yes, more Chinese watch this show than Americans watch the Super Bowl, which was something when I got up there and introduced myself and introduced the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And told everyone that Milwaukee had great weather, because we have been told by our Chinese partners that a lot of people are concerned about the weather here. So there are at least 300 million people now who think that Milwaukee is a little bit like Milwaukee. That's assuming that I pronounced my Chinese correctly, which I'm not sure. I did not learn that much Chinese, but I did learn how to say Milwaukee has great weather. And then, of course, I didn't have to learn too much more than that, because the show was about finding the best English speaker. It was an amazing experience. And it was something that was really hard to capture on the page. But in this piece that I wrote for Medium, I just tried to somehow capture all the kind of a 360 vision of what I was involved in, in part because the people around me the whole time kept saying, like, you're a writer. You must just be blown away by this experience. It must be really so wonderful to have the opportunity to write about it. And the more that I was there, the more it kind of went beyond what I even thought I could capture with words.
And there is, to be sure, a great deal of absurdity that surrounds this entire experience.
An immense deal of absurdity. From start to finish, when I landed at the airport and they were holding up a sign that said, "Welcome celebrity guest judge Liam Callanan," that was funny enough. But then the sign next to that said, "Welcome celebrity guest judge Paul Newman." And I thought, oh, dear, because for one thing, Newman was spelled wrong and he's also no longer with us. So I thought this show is about to get really strange. And it did. And Paul turned out to be a perfectly nice and actually living person who showed up from Queens, New York. But when we got there, I was expecting something very rinky-dink with card tables and giant lollipop microphones. This was higher tech than anything I've seen on American TV, and it was located in a bright orange castle that was actually the home of the Agriculture and Military Channel, a 24/7 channel.
And you included that detail. I almost thought you had been making that up.
No, there are 12 state-run channels in China, and the show that I was on was going to air on another network, the Education Channel. Channel 1 is for news, kind of like BBC 1. And actually, the Washington correspondent of Channel 1, Chinese state television, she won this contest previously. So, no, we were in the Agriculture and Military Channel, and there was a giant photo of the agriculture newscasting team as we came in. I didn't see anything about the military team. And the studio itself looked beautiful from the outside, but like much of China, also seemed to be a work in progress. There was some construction debris, but we just kind of stepped around that and then scooted inside, and then the magic started.
Well, and so talk about your role. You were a celebrity judge, but you make a distinction in this piece that you were a celebrity judge, but there were also a panel of real judges.
Yes, and that was definitely a big surprise for me. When I got there, I thought they had said it was going to be a four-judge panel with three Chinese celebrities and then an American. And so I thought, well, here I go. And I got my swiveling practicing in. You know, I sat at home and swiveled as much as I could in my chair. But then when I got there, it turned out the three Chinese celebrities were going to sit in the middle of the stage. And then almost a dozen of us foreign celebrities kind of sat in this foreign judge bullpen off to the left. And the Chinese celebrities, who included a comedian who had grown up or lived in Seattle for quite some time, an anchor from the Education Channel, and then this really interesting woman who was a young woman out of Columbia University in New York City. And I was told by my translator that she was a diver. And I thought, I asked her, like Jacques Cousteau? And there was kind of a pause. And then they said, yes. And so for much of the show, I thought that she was kind of an aquanaut. And then I learned later on that, no, she actually had been a participant on another reality show, which was Celebrity Splash China, which were people who jump off of platform diving.
So like what might be called, so you think you can dive.
Exactly. So you think you can dive. So she was one of the other judges. And we couldn't ever really talk to the main Chinese celebrity judges, because although I didn't know any of them, they were so famous that they kind of had like a force field around them that kind of prevented you from going up and just saying like, hey, how did that dive go? And we were on completely separate like little tiers. But it was interesting. They obviously spoke Chinese, all of them, and English. And I speak very little Chinese other than Milwaukee has great weather and hello. But it was fascinating just to kind of see how they moved through it. And at first, you know, it really did seem like it was going to be just one funny moment after another. And there was a lot of fun. But it also hit home to me, not just about this show, but all these reality shows, that it's kind of a moving experience. We saw 40 kids, and they had beaten out, I think, 4 million other entrants, which meant they were like the 1% of 1% of 1%. So they were all fluent. I mean, every one of them was a winner, and certainly they all spoke English. I mean, some of them spoke English better than I do. But when they lost and they would start crying, it suddenly became very much less funny, especially for, you know, I'm a dad and I have people in the classroom, and that's just that was very awkward. And I know that it makes great television, but Lordy, that's one way to spend your summer.
Well, and it sounds like it is not that dissimilar, only with much different production values from, say, the National Spelling Bee in this country.
That's when people ask me to describe it, and I say, well, it looked like American Idol, but it kind of felt like the National Spelling Bee. And I remember a lot of people, especially our Chinese hosts over there, said, you all should have something like this in the United States. And I said, one, I don't know if we can come up with 4 million entrants for a Chinese language competition, let alone 40. But two, I just don't know if there's a television audience here where this is a firmly established show. It's more than a dozen years old. People have gone on from the show to host various channels. It launches careers in China. Once you've won this thing, you – and not just you, but your family and your teacher, because the teachers also came to the show. You're all quite large celebrities. And it was fascinating to think that something like this was possible there.
Well, and for China being such a global economic force, it really still speaks to what's at stake from learning English.
Absolutely. There were people, the amount of English that I heard spoken and just the way that English was honored throughout the country was amazing. And it was just everywhere I turned, we talked about English. In the cab ride from the airport, a graduate student from their foreign language university came to pick me up. And within 5 minutes of hopping in that cab, we were having this pretty deep conversation about Toni Morrison's novel Sula, which is not one that everyone reads. And she had this fascinating analysis of the characters as foils. And we talked about, you know, where they lived. And I thought, my goodness, this is not a conversation I have in many cabs in the United States, let alone China, let alone in just perfect English. One day I went for a run in a nearby campus, and I thought people were calling out to me as I ran by, but because they were speaking English. And then I slowed down and I realized actually they were kind of each standing next to a tree and they were practicing their monologues for what must have been an English language exam later on that day. So wherever you looked, there were people who were looking to learn English, celebrating English, looking to demonstrate your English. It was almost like linguistic mugging. People would come up to you and say, hello, it is a beautiful day here. You are handsome, you know, and it was just fascinating to kind of want to react to that.
Well, and so if you were not on the actual three-judge panel, you were in this bullpen, what was your role?
Our role was to critique the contestants who didn't go on. I kind of deliver a verbal hug as they left, because the winners exited stage left and there were much fireworks. In fact, they played Katy Perry's Fairy Work. And then if they lost, they played Skylar Grey, Diddy Money's I'm Coming Home. I won't sing it, but it was very, you know, the screens would all go gray and the kind of this acid rain would fall. And then they would come over to the foreign judges because the Chinese judges had just dissed them basically. And then they would come over to us. And if we liked them, we would hit a little light and then we would say a couple things about them. And
this is the pillar between your legs?
Yes. There was a giant glowing pillar between my legs, which was topped with a really big yellow button. And I could not keep from hitting that button. I mean, I think there's just something about there's a 4-year-old boy in all of us. I mean, you see like a big button like that, you really want to smack it. And so I did. And also because I liked all the kids. And so I kind of set a record on the show as being the person who hit the button for every single child. But as I pointed out to my fellow judges and actually the Chinese judges at one point, they all spoke perfect English. I wasn't sure why other people weren't hitting the button. And in some cases, they all had to do a talent, like they had to do a monologue and then they had to perform something, nunchucks or karate or guitar, or one kid did a comedy act, which really fell flat. But I still hit my button and I told them that I thought it was, you know, really interesting existential comedy, and they reminded me of Samuel Beckett. And which actually that rocked the Chinese judges back on their heels, and they said, whoa, we got to step up our game. And I was like, and how? Here we go. But he was great. The child was great. And so when they came over to our place, I would tell them, not only were you great, but you would be particularly great if you one day applied to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And the tricky thing was that some of them were too young. Most of the ones I saw were too young to come. So I couldn't really tell an 8-year-old, you know, we'll see you next year. Although, honestly, many of them had language skills that, you know, they would do really well in their classrooms. But I think we definitely – we raised Wisconsin's profile over there.
The essay you've written about it is in maybe an uncommon medium. Tell us about how you got onto this site called Medium.
Medium is this new medium. It's kind of a curated literary and art space on the internet that's seeking to be a kind of a new storytelling space and very much designed to be a new medium. It's been launched by some of the co-founders of Twitter, and now they're going on to their next thing, and it's this, which it's not quite a magazine. It's a place where different stories get told, and different it brings readers and writers together. And different editors curate different parts of it, and the part that I'm appearing in is called Open Ticket, and it's curated by a talented editor named Lizzie Skernick. She has a line of books called Lizzie Skernick Books, but also appears in NPR as a book reviewer. But she always has an eye out for interesting stories, and this one struck her eye. And so I work with her on putting it together. It's an ongoing space, and it's kind of the hallmarks are lavish illustration and then a little bit of a longer read. In other words, I like the way the site honors the idea that good stories sometimes take more than 200 words to tell, or for that matter, 140 characters. So my story goes on for a little bit more than 140 characters, but then I was in China for 2 weeks. So
you probably met 140 characters while you were there.
Oh my gosh, I met close to 3.2 billion, I think, when I was over there. And it was – walking down any sidewalk was like – leaving Miller Park after a game. There were just that many people. And when I walk down Downer Avenue now, I'm like, where are the other five people abreast? Not to mention, I mean, I saw somebody biking by with a sofa on the back of their bike. It's just a really crowded space.
Well, Liam, fortunately, there is always room on the airwaves for you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much for having me. I'll answer that call anytime.
Liam Callinan teaches English at UW-Milwaukee, is the author of two novels, and this summer was called on to serve as a judge on a reality game show in China to find that country's best English speaker. You'll find a link to his essay about it from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. How your morning cup of coffee might have come to taste so darn swell, it is an interesting story we'll hear when Lake Effect returns in just a moment on WUWM.